Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. And today's program is the third part of a three-part series of Christmas music. And today we have live in the studio Bob Parks and the Recreationals. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming in.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
What are we going to start off with?
All right, I'll give a little introduction to this. Now, I'm 64, and at this time, about 1959, I think it was, we first heard a subversive version of a carol, and it was Roland Kirk. We Three Kings. Oh, sorry, I'm talking into the wrong mic. We Three Kings. So we're going to start off with that one as a sort of an introduction.
Isn't this the sort of... This is the Roland Kirk version, yeah?
It's the Roland Kirk version. And I'm putting in a bit of rap before we get into it. So
all right.
Here we go. And we can't do the three instruments. We can't do the mandolin and the stritch and all that. So it's just the flute. But here goes, Scott. It's a bit of propaganda to begin with here. The baby boomers, Generation X, with love and peace and spiritual revolution. In their 60s, sequestered death and give that to the world instead. Watch out, it's coming, your neighbor. Thank you. right there, William.
Okay, Bob, thank you. Well, that's We Three Kings, the sort of loosely influenced by Roland Kirk, can we say?
I can't hear you.
Did you ever see Roland Kirk?
Yeah, I went to see him at St Pancras Town Hall, and I was in the third year at school, and we had you just get the same tickets on the same day that time. You didn't have to get any advance tickets or anything like that. Right. And I was about 25 rows back, and he came out with his three instruments, and it looked rather like he was playing the bagpipes, and it was just incredible.
Yeah, because he always played about three instruments at once,
and the nose flute as well.
So right, yeah.
Well, I'm going to go on to say that Christmas, I think the next Christmas, they had the MJQ on BBC One.
Yeah.
I think it was 2 degrees east, 3 degrees west. And on the other side, they had God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. And that was like, da 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 da. I used to whistle the improvisations on the way to school.
Right.
And that was really when the subversion started coming in to our generation. I refer to Generation X in the mm-hmm. little thing at the beginning. And this was when we were put in touch with the whole Black African tradition. And about that time, as we were talking about a little bit earlier, at the Comedy Theatre on the Embankment, Black Nativity was on, Alex uh-huh. Bradford and Marion Williams and the Stars of Faith. And Little Richard said he got his ooh from Marion Williams, and the Beatles in turn got their ooh from whoever that was. I said last, I forgot what I was
talking about. Yes, Marion Williams.
Yeah, Marion Williams. And yes. That was the first time that we were sitting in the balcony with my brother, and we were just clapping. And it was the first time that white people, English people, were clapping to someone standing on the stage saying, God wants you and God wants you. And it was just the beginning of everything. About that time, about 1959. And then from that, it's another tune that we're going to do a little bit later in the set, because I want to talk all about a project that I want to tell you all about. But just as an intro to that, as you know, as everybody knows, at that time, there was, I think it was, can you remember, it was the entry of the gladiators. It was Nero and the gladiators, that was right. It was the first time that pop music had subverted classical music.
Oh, right.
See,
yeah.
So we started off with jazz at Christmas time subverting carols, and then pop music got into it. And then I think it was Bee Bumble and the Stingers did Nut Rocker.
Yep.
And then they took the Grieg, Asia Minor, and there was an orchestral. Dam, da-da-lam, da-da-lam. That was, and then later, as our first song, we're going to do a job on Silent Night. So that's to come. When the talking lags a little bit, we'll come straight into that.
So that'll be a sort of noisy version of Silent Night.
Yes, it's a disrespectful. So it was initially it was just addressing the title, the name of it, and just as I say in my little introduction here, that the 60s was a name, and now we're physically in our 60s, we're getting all upset and everything and not able to handle life. Before then, it was just the idea of life and sex, which was a big idea then. And as I say, it was a spiritual revolution, which was supposed to lead to, well, what I think, and I suspect, and Jude Kelly at the South Bank will agree with me, because apparently this January she's got a theme for a whole weekend.
Right.
And I'm sorry to bring this topic up, because I'm sorry. Death. And,
As I was saying, I played Death Will Be Your Santa Claus a couple of weeks ago.
He will. Death is coming. Praise God. Anyhow, this is coming. Now, why this is significant is because our generation, these 3 years, born 1946, 45 and 47, we had the sexual revolution, which was a discovery about coming out of puberty into adolescence, into the rest of life. Now we're coming out of life, and our parents are dying, and we're dying. So this is the next thing. So instead of sex, we've got the mystery of death too. So we're going to foist it on the rest of the world, basically, just like we did in the 60s, and then be sick to death with it. But anyhow, this is the introduction of it, and I thought I could put a little plug in at this point. Shall I tell you about my project?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a big project I'm doing. It's a life study. As I talked to you about and introduced in the last time we talked, when we were on...
That was at Raven Row.
The Raven Row Gallery. Yeah. It was... I introduced this project that I did, which was a big crucifixion that I planned over the last 20 years in encaustic. Now, encaustic is beeswax and pigment, and you use a heat gun and use a heated palette, and it's original. The Greeks, no, the Egyptians used it originally, and then I think it was a resurrection with the pop artist like
Jasper Johns,
yeah, you know, reintroduced it, and then subsequent people afterwards,
yeah,
whose name I can't remember right now, but there's a guy who he does very.
It takes ages to dry, doesn't it?
No, no. Yeah, it takes about 9 months to harden.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can polish it. And,
right.
And but it dries pretty much instantaneously to touch. So, but you can't. It melts a little bit. But it's apparently the most permanent pigment. It's more permanent than oil paints because it doesn't discolour. And I went up State New York. Ken Kiff was one of my tutors at Chelsea School of Art, and then I bumped into him some years back, and he told me about it's a road in New York. Oh, I can't remember Canal Street, and there was a gallery that sold R&F encaustics that sell high quality encaustics. It does a little bit of Dacian, but it's basically pure. And it's in Kingston, upstate New York. I went there and I took the course, how to use it properly, and brought all the supplies back to England with me. And some years later, in the village, I live in Sway, and I have a friend who parents paid for them to have an industrial unit where they had a studio, and they let me have it for 3 months. And in that time, I took advantage to do. So I never had a studio. Patrick Heron said when in 1972 that the thing that he finds most distressing is the fact that art students, when they leave art school, want to be successful. He said nothing has been more saddening than hearing that. And I've never had a studio, and you hear all these people asking for studios and that, and I'm 64. But anyway, I got the studio space for 3 months, which was enough.
Do you think they should go for failure then rather than success?
No, you shouldn't. The sixties was not about not having preconceived ideas. So basically, you don't go for anything, and you just go. Whatever, it's an attempt to live. That all the failure comes, and it's usually failure. It's not success because that's what you can't. Look, you can't say yes until you said no, in all those books on pop psychology. So you've got to fail, or in the Indian sense of the word, you can't have positive until you have negativity. And so you go, you go for failure in a very optimistic spirit.
Right.
And nihilism, I just put the plug in for Turgenev, who introduced in Fathers and Sons, who introduced the idea of nihilism, which is then taken up by Melville in Moby Dick, which is the American Bible of nihilism. So we are coming from that. This is the starting point. So this is our celebration of Christmas through negation. And, you know, the Cholos, the gang members in LA, would take Matisse's negative space and use it in their. It was originally Baja California in that area, and this is by introduction to my project. And the white people and blah blah came in and took over their territory, and so they still a lot of Aztec script, the glyphs are unable to you can't really interpret them, but then because they were two dimensional, the Christians came in and put them into three dimensions. But basically, the symbolism isn't that clear. But anyway, they take. What is it? Matisse's negative space. Not they didn't know who Matisse was, but they knew about negative space. And they would. Their line is as subtle as that. And they do things to like confound perspective. It's a sort of a metaphysical thing. Now, this metaphysical thing is the thing that I want to talk about. Larry Bell, who's one of the Los Angeles West Coast artists, white, in his in a catalogue. In Albuquerque, he had a show. He talked about like East Coast artists and West Coast artists. East Coast artists, like Johns, and from that period, and Rauschenberg and co, asked a big metaphysical question, why? What is it all about? And it's angst and all that kind of thing. Whereas the practical West Coast artists asked the metaphysical question, how? So it's basically, how do you get it? Now, for research for my crucifixion, I went back to the source. I had a friend who was a comparative mythologist, who was a friend who later committed suicide, actually, in America, who said, my Stalinism, she said, if you're going to be a Stalinist, be quiet about it, don't tell anyone, but live it. And secondly, she said, about ecstatic religion. And she said that you have to go, basically it's in the west coast of Africa. So through many, many years of meditation, that suddenly occurred to me, the Fons in Benin is where voodoo is. And I think that my research has been, as I said in my earlier programme, but I'll just reshape it a little bit, is to do with the source of rhythm and blues. It took me to Los Angeles, not to New Orleans. Jerry Wexler and Johnny Otis have this competition on who invented the term, but I go with the West Coast version of it. Anyhow, he's like 87 now. I talked to his wife on the phone quite a bit because he's not talking to anyone. I can't think of her name. Anyhow, there's Nathaniel Mellors, who's just gone out there to live. And he's been really supportive. He paid for an LP that I did, and he's going to do a documentary on me when I get out there. Because Getty have sponsored, I think it's $6 million, to fund, it's called The Birth of Los Angeles Art from 1945 to 1980, and there's 60 venues right down from San Diego up to Santa Barbara. And I want to check these out. Now, I'll only be able to, what I've done is I've got my flight out there, and I was trying to stay with Nathaniel, but I couldn't, so I went to the church. And our church is right in Watts, and that's where the Hoover Crips, that's one of the fiercest gangs in LA, that's right where they're based. So this is where I'm going to be dodging bullets when I get out of the, quite literally, it literally will be. And so I'm anticipating it. And Neil, and he's actually on the LP. Now, he said he'd take me in, so I'm going to stay there for 7 nights. And so 7 days. Now, what I'm trying to come down to and to tie down, this is... it's about all we're going to get time to look at. There's a lot to say. Is addressing this question of the metaphysical how. Now, I go to a church in the New Forest, and after I'd done this crucifixion, informed, I won't go into all the detail, by my experience in Ouidah in Benin, I had various ceremonies I took part with, the sacrifices of goats and different things, and the power comes out of the animal and comes into me. A lot of, like, the language used is very much the same, you know, in the midnight hour, and it comes, like, into the services. It's straight voodoo stuff. And that's not, like, people will talk about Nigeria or the Yoruba, but that's the Orishas. That's something different. That's not voodoo. So it's people, that's Candomblé. They're different things, but this is like the Vatican of that particular belief system is based there. And I just recently, my guide, his mother was the princess of the Agungun, who are the really nasty ones. You look in their eyes and you die. And she just died herself. It's real. And so he was trying to get money to pay for the crucifixion. I mean, the funeral services. But I've got all my money invested in this next stage of the project. So, right, what I'm going to tie down is, now, you've got like the cool school in America, Jerry Mulligan in jazz. You've got the Robert Irwin. And who's at the Terrell? Where's Terrell? He's in the desert, everyone used to say. Terrell and Robert Irwin were at the Jet Propulsion Lab doing a project together, and they had a technologist. And it gets so freaky. This is Art and Technology, the show at the County Museum in 72. I just got to say this quickly because I want to get to the point. Art and Technology show. Anyhow, Terrell backed out of it because it was getting too much for him. You could go to the centre, you feel your actual blood flow. They had another person I met who wrote a metaphysical autobiography of a scientist, John Lilly, who had the original flotation tank, a solution of Epsom salts. He was one of the people that I knew kind of in that area out of Irvine. But now, the point is, and this is my belief, Church of God in Christ, which is blues and jazz, different soul beats from gospel music, 1895 out of Memphis. I think I'm right in this. I think it grew up on the west coast in the 20s. So you had all these floor churches all the way down, like LA and around there. Now, because they're two different universes, the East Coast and the West Coast, I think black people could get away with establish their aesthetic, which is so subversive. You know, see what happened to Paul Rosen and co, that they were able to sneak it in. Although the movie industry, I think, is based on the mystique of Aztec culture, which, because Baja California was originally Mexico before it was Hollywood, I think the big thing about Los Angeles is its rhythm and blues, R&B. And Johnny Otis has coined the term. He played with Lester Young in the early 40s, and he came out of the black swing band, like, I can't think of the names, but the black, not Basie, but yeah. So, losing my thought. Okay, and I've forgotten what I'm talking about.
That's all right.
Right. Perceptual psychology. This is what they're really into. Sorry. And because I want to ask this. I believe, and this is what I've got one more minute, and I want to go to the last bit. It's not a phenomenological approach to perceptual psychology, but I think it's process-oriented. And I think that's linked in with the black aesthetic. And I think this is addressing... Now, the metaphysical how from voodoo is obviously animal sacrifice. That's how they do it. But they do it on the West Coast because it's, you know, puts Anish Kapoor in right in the shadows because it's very professional. There's a show, The Finnish Fetish, and I think Light and Space. They were both movements, but they're all represented, everything. Craig Kauf and all the biggies are there. I want to go see that. So let's go into the last set, guys. You ready? sing the lead in? It's this one, isn't it? Right. Silent Night. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's the New Forest Care Reform and the Fenwick 2 Friday Singing Club. Now, 6 months ago, to try, because I'm the carer for my 92-year-old mother, 93-year-old mother. And it, locally in the New Forest, they have a singing club every Friday. So we put out this CD. And if anybody wants to get a hold of it, this is just one of the tracks from it. It's the New Forest Carers Forum. I suggest you try and Google that, and you might be able to get a copy. £5. But it's going towards a good cause. Oh.
All right. Well, thank you very much to Bob Park and the Recreationals for playing live in the studio today. Thank you, Bob.
It's a pleasure.
And a Merry Christmas to you all.
Merry Christmas to everyone out there on Radio Land from the Recreationals and Parks. Thank you.
This is Leo Johnson, and you're listening to not just my favourite radio station, but the only station I listen to, Resonance 104.4 FM.
ResonanceFM.com. International magazines, diverse programs, all kinds of music, everything the other radios don't. It's food for you. Resonance 104.4 FM.
Here is Resonance FM 104.4. 欢迎您收听。
Marilyn Monroe said, "It's not true I had nothing on. I had the radio on." If you're hearing this, you have Resonance 104.4 FM on.